We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Jonah Carey.
If you look at the wins above replacement over the last 2 weeks, they're actually 16th among position players, so right in the middle of the pack, really nothing all that impressive. But as a whole, pretty average. But you look at their pitching, this is over the last 2 weeks. Kyle Hendricks in his last three starts is a 0.36 ERA. John Lester over his last two starts is a 0.00 ERA. Steve Cishek, unblemished. Mike Montgomery, unblemished. You go on and on and on. They've really gotten a lot of contributions, both from starters and relievers that they didn't get earlier in the season. And this is what they hoped for, right? I mean, with all the veterans, with Hendricks and with Lester and with Hamels, and the hope was that Darvish would turn around. Darvish was magnificent in his most recent start. Didn't see that coming. They're finally putting it together, and it's been nice to see.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We got baseball talk coming your way and the midday midway at 1040. Roberto Garza, the former Bear, tell us all about Bears 100 coming up this summer and talk some football with him at 11:20. Also, giveaways, a shot at $1,000 cash and a round of golf for two at the Bog Golf Club. That's in Saukville, Wisconsin. It is an Arnold Palmer top five golf course. Visit golfthebog.com. You have to be listening for your opportunity to win. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number here at WSCR The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. Texting 67011. You send one, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com. App.
What's west of Westeros? It's over now. I know you don't get it, but it's over now.
I know what Westeros is.
Okay, well, what's west of it? Turns out it's a Denny's. It's just like there's a. That's what it is.
It's like the Twilight Zone.
You go west, it's like, ah, there's a Denny's. It's they like got out
in,
here. I don't know.
In Augusta. Like,
that's great.
John Daly's in the parking lot.
Maybe they'll get an In-N-Out soon.
When you download the radio.com app, you can stream The Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. You can watch us on the video feed, watch 670thescore.com, Facebook Live. That's directed by Brian Gertz. The producers today are Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and Adam Studzinski. That's the crew. And the Cubs got back to winning a series. That's what they do. They win series, and they dropped one, and then they won. It was kind of raggedy, though. It was an odd series. The whole thing was kind of raggedy, but they ended up with Steve Cishek saving their bacon.
Yeah, that's some nice work out of the bullpen. It was for a moment. I don't know what you thought about Kyle Hendricks' first four or five innings or so, but I on that broadcast, that ESPN Sunday night broadcast, which was fine last night, you got Buster Olney after they give up the first hit thinking, boy, I don't usually call no-hitters. I don't usually, you know, think that what I'm seeing here is going to turn into something like this. But he was of the opinion that Hendricks was doing the seesaw thing well enough to throw some kind of no-hitter.
I would never draft him in a no-hitter pool. If I'm no, as good as he is, I would never take Kyle Hendricks.
Sure, but the last guy who threw the no-hitter is two, and you wouldn't have drafted him anyway. I mean,
Mike Fiers.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't do that. Even still, I guess the point is you could seesaw back and forth. You can play that velocity thing, and when he just kind of falls off the pedestal that he'd been on his last three, four starts, nice to have some work come out of the bullpen, throw the two and a third. We get some trade rumors around the Cubs. We've got some potential storylines this evening, though, that I think are huge. As much as it's nice to win a series two out of three, I think the Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta start is really something tonight. I really do.
It's not fair to necessarily interrelate them. This is one of these things where it's a very easy narrative to say if this, then this, or this other than that. And of course, it's way more complicated than that.
Of course it is. And to me, it's not
no
about
heroes or villains in this.
No, it's not about choosing paths. It's not about, you know, what would have happened or where this guy would have been, or even, you know, what kind of success either guy would have had he gone anywhere else, whether it was the Cubs or the Phillies or anywhere. Really, it's just the choices that got made. You know, that you're kind of waving hello to the past a little bit. You don't get a chance to do that every day in sports. I mean, you don't get a chance to see that guy come back to a place that was so enthralled by him for each and every start of the second half of 2015 and into 2016 in a World Series run.
I get it, and he's immensely likable. And the part of what I think the connection with Arrieta isn't just what he achieved, isn't just what he meant for a historic Cubs team. It's the fact that he allowed you inside. He gave of himself. He is on my list of one of my all-time favorite athletes to talk to because he was so good at talking about what he does.
Yeah.
A lot of guys are not. A lot of guys really aren't good at talking about their craft. And he was awesome at discussing it and was upfront when he lost that slider cutter that made him special, when he lost the feel for that pitch. And it just wasn't there anymore. And he simply was not the same pitcher ever since that pitch stopped being special.
No, and he hasn't been that guy that he was at the end of 2016. The velocities are down, the walks are up, the strikeouts are down, all that stuff. But he's still a pretty decent starting pitcher for the Phillies. They've put together a real nice run here, top of the NL East. And that's a nice ball club. So it'll be interesting to watch them, you know, come in and duel. But people forget, and I think with as much frustration as the Cubs have had around them, you know, that frustration meeting with expectation kind of all at the same time since the World Series, you know, an underwhelming postseason run, a really messy series against the Nationals, you get booted out at 163 and then the play-in game, all that stuff. There's frustration there. And that is in turn, I think, made some fans question long-term decisions made by the front office, made by the organization, about how things are going to be set up from here on out, from the World Series ceremony all the way until the next 5-10 years of this Cubs franchise. I think it's worth looking back and remembering the trade that got you Jake Arrieta in the first place. That was a fleecing.
And Strope, right? You know, wasn't it Scott Feldman
Arrieta
and Steve Clevenger?
Yep. For Scott Feldman, for 4 months, 3 months of Scott Feldman, right? Because I think he was a free agent and ended up going to the Houston Astros after that, and a pretty racist catcher. I mean, that's a good deal. That's a good deal. That's one of the greatest
pretty
trades.
Pretty racist catcher.
It's Steve, I don't know, man. Yeah. You said it out loud. You can't say those things out loud. You got to go.
I did?
Yeah,
okay,
man.
I'll be over here.
All over Twitter, top to bottom. You you can't. All right, you're gone.
I guess what it comes down to is, even if you believe that the Cubs have made some horrible mistake in signing Yu Darvish, it doesn't mean they were wrong about the direction Arrieta was heading. It doesn't mean they didn't also make the right call in not signing Arrieta to a big money contract. As a Cub, starting in 2014, Jake Arrieta was a 5.3 win pitcher in 2014. He was a 7 win pitcher in 2015.
Just a
magnificent,
unbelievable and incredible season.
He was a 3.4 win pitcher in 2016 and a 2.5 win pitcher in 2017. So far with the Phillies, in his first year, he was worth 1.9 wins. And so far this year, he's worth 0.4, which is an okay start.
Yeah, that's an okay start. It's a good first month of the season, and I remember looking back through some of his games, and May hasn't been all that kind to
him
to begin.
That doesn't lie. Those numbers there about value, the Cubs, just because they're wrong on Darvish, it doesn't mean they were wrong on Arrieta. I want to make something clear, too. When I say that the Cubs were wrong to sign Yu Darvish, I'm saying if, in fact, you believe that. We talked to Jed Hoyer last week. They don't think that. I'm not saying the Cubs think they did something wrong. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But publicly, when we said to Jed Hoyer, are you still tantalized by the possibility? Because we debated that on this show, where, Connor, you say it isn't about still thinking that the ace is in there. It's about managing him from start to start, getting the most out of it, and figuring out what you got that day.
He's a live in the moment, YOLO kind of pitcher right now.
Well, Jed Hoyer didn't agree. Jed Hoyer said they absolutely think that this can be fixed and he can be everything they thought he was. They're not giving up on that Darvish.
Yeah, in fairness to them, and kind of to me, they can't agree with me. You know, I mean, that's
they, right. What are they supposed to say?
No, I mean, not even from that standpoint. But you have an asset who is signed to the contract, and you would it would be criminal if you were trying to get his first start or a good start into the next one, and then into the next one, and then make those building blocks happen. I mean, you're 2 years. You're not even 2 years into this contract. They've got to find a way to make you Darvish at age 32, turning 33 in middle of August, by the way. A guy that can age into his mid-30s. A guy that can age into his late-30s, for that matter. You've got to find value.
To mid-30s. Now, the texters want to know, you gave the Fangraphs win numbers for Arrieta. How does that compare to Darvish? Well,
bad.
He's better than Darvish. Darvish in 2018 was worth 0.3 of a win. And so far in 2019, he's underwater. He has cost the team 0.1 of a win. That's where it stands at the moment. However, you could look at that and say, wow, look at that difference. But you know what? That's a total difference of 2 wins in 2 years. That's all. And what because of the Cubs season last year, the way that season went down, somebody could stand up and say, that could have been the difference. Yeah. Amid any other number of possible variables, that's a completely fair argument. It could have been.
And remember, you know, wins above replacement is a counting stat. So the fact that Darvish didn't go to the post more than, you know, a handful of times last season before getting shut down matters. Arrieta made his starts, has made his starts. And I think with pairing the two of them against each other, or at least having the conversation around it, you're right. I mean, none of those decisions are made in a vacuum. And you've got to remember all of the different swings around those contracts and around those decisions that led the Cubs to that point. We've talked about this with Jose Quintana, right? A big part of the value and a big part of the reason you went out and got him, and he's been such a great trade for the Cubs, isn't just that he pitches well more often than he doesn't. It's that his contract and the ability to go out and get him allowed the Cubs to go spend on Yu Darvish, spend on Brandon Morrow, and spend on Tyler Chatwood. It's not, you know, it sucks that money hasn't turned around and been positive value for you, but Q's contract was a big piece of their ability to go spend. Had they spent better money, you more than likely win that 96th game last season, and yep, you're not playing in 163, and you've got yourself the series, the five-game series.
There is a sentimental aspect to Arrieta being back, and it's okay. You win a World Series, you perform like he performed, that's fine to have that kind of sentiment. It just allows people to get into some really reductive narrative stuff. And the other thing it does is we create this sort of self-defeating setup for Yu Darvish, who admits getting into his own head under pressure in big games and then puts more pressure on himself. And we're doing it again, aren't we?
Yeah. We don't have to. The Phillies and Cubs have done it for us.
Right.
You've got Jake Arrieta and Yu Darvish as opposing starting pitchers tonight. And they will, assuming the weather holds and not one of them doesn't get knocked off the mound before the other guy bats, they'll pitch to each other at one point. By the way, I went through this. You know the game Beat the Streak? Yeah. Lawrence and I were telling you about this earlier. It's the game where it's the MLB game. You download it, and then you select a hitter each and every night in Major League Baseball. And then if your guy gets a hit, you have a streak going. If your streak gets to 56, you win, I think it's like $5.6 million. It's what it is. It's $5.6 million. And you get prizes along the way for streaks and whatnot. And I'm streaky about the Beat the Streak selection. But I went through.
Just take Cody Bellinger every night?
You probably could. I mean, the guy's hitting 4-0, God knows what. He is just incredible. And his strikeout rate is like 14%.
Is his OPS like 1.2 something?
I think it's a billion
it's insane.
You know, you cannot on Beat the Streak go through and select Jake Arrieta tonight against Yu Darvish, which is what I wanted to do. You know Jake Arrieta is going to get a hit off Yu Darvish tonight. You're aware of that, right? The baseball gods and narratives and just, you know, fate, and that's happening.
I hadn't thought about it quite that way.
Destiny will ordain, and probably has, that Jake Arrieta will get a hit off Yu Darvish tonight.
I saw a stat that is really cool that explains some of the Cubs' success, and it is a statistic in which the Cubs not only lead all of baseball, but lead by such a wide margin that it's almost silly.
Hmm.
So I want to get to that, and you might know what it is, but it's something that it will, if you think the eye test has passed, The answer is yes, and with flying colors. And the Cubs are the best in baseball at this.
That's coming up. It's Bertzina McKnight, 670 The Score.
So Friday, I'm leaving the office.
Yeah.
And Mitch walks me into his office and he goes, "Hey, your Omaha steaks are here. There's the meat." So I'm like, "Oh yeah, right." So
today's the day.
Yeah. So I grab the giant box of meat and I park, half a mile away.
You gotta walk.
So I'm carrying the thing and I'm like, I'll be fine with this. And I didn't realize how heavy it was. And I'm thinking, this is way heavier than the usual, like the Omaha Steaks box I get a couple times a year.
Heavier by how much?
I don't know.
You think?
Yeah. I didn't realize it. I'm like, okay. So I'm going to give it. Maybe they put more dry ice in it or something. I don't know. So yeah, I get it.
That's the new thing.
I get the thing down the basement and I open the chest freezer. I'm like, all right, let's start unpacking this. And I open it. I'm like, whoa. There's like three of everything. And it turns out it was mine, and they had also sent equal packages, the whole Father's Day pack,
uh-huh,
one for you,
yeah,
and one for Mitch. So I text Mitch. I'm like, I have everybody's meat at my house. And Mitch said, don't worry about it. That's fine. So thankfully, everything timed up nicely that you were able to come over.
Yeah, that was very nice. When I got the text from you that said, hey, Omaha's the fine folks over there sent a whole ton of meat.
Yeah.
Do you want some of this?
Almost literally a ton of meat.
I was surprised. I read it and I was like, huh, if I were you, had I been in your position, giant chest of meat, walking at home, finding out that it was your stuff and Mitch's stuff, I don't know that I would have texted. I think I might have been that guy who says, well, it's here now. So that means I am honor bound to eat all of it.
Well, no, I felt bad because maybe the client follows up with an email. Hey, what did you like? And you say, wait a second.
I didn't get
any of this.
No
one told me I got any of that. No, and I got to meet your dog.
Yes, the dog. Yes, yes, yes. She is, she's quite a cute little animal. She actually, I haven't told you this yet.
I have to admit, it's a cute dog.
It is. Of course it's a cute dog. It's a sheep-a-doodle. It's very, very cute. Last weekend, I was in urgent care. I haven't told you about this. Last weekend, I went to urgent care Friday night. We're getting ready to go out to dinner. Everything's going great. We're kind of settling the dog down, to go into the crate as we go out to dinner. Mm-hmm. And you do this thing, I guess, where, you get the puppy biting, right? Now, when the puppy bites at you, you need to put a toy, you want to distract it with the toy. Like, give it the toy, let it bite the toy, use that kind of momentum, the puppy biting momentum, to get it into the toy.
Okay. In a crate, you mean?
So, yeah. Okay. And then eventually you get it into the crate. You're trying to direct the puppy crate to bite the toy. So I bite, 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 toy, bite, 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 toy. And she kind of is like lazily listing off toward my hand. Right?
Yeah.
Then she makes the snap decision to bite at my face and lands a one in a million shot on my nose. A small scar. See it on the bottom there?
Yeah.
Yeah. She split my nose.
Ow. Do they stitch it?
No, they don't. Apparently. No, they didn't even glue it. So they split the thing. I free blood everywhere.
Oh.
She gets the inside. It's a one in a million shot. She bit inside my nose.
Ow.
And split. You could see it.
Ow.
You could see it.
Ow.
So I'm over the sink. The whole thing. We go to urgent care. The nice folks at the urgent care, the attending nurse writes down nose abrasion. And I see it on the thing. I'm like, that makes me feel super tough.
That's a really good one. They open for 9-inch nails.
That's a laceration. That's abrasion.
I mean, that's the thing. She writes that, and it's this cute. I could show you the picture of the, but it's the cutest thing. It has zero mean in it at all. She split the nose open, and now they're writing down nose abrasion on the thing.
A lot of work to get a dog in a crate.
It was. It was. It was a lot of work. I'm fine. Thanks for asking. Everything's fine. Although I'm nervous every time I sneeze that my nose is going
to
fly
apart. Having a dog is harder than having a kid. I'm telling you.
You can't talk to it.
I mentioned the Cubs lead the league in something by a mile. There's a paragraph here in Sahadev Sharma's piece in The Athletic, because I think you brought this up a couple of weeks ago.
May have.
And the number's even higher now. The Cubs have a 7.02 team slugging percentage to the opposite field. I'm going to say it again. 7.02. That is a massive number. That is almost a single. That is 70% of the way to first base when hitting to the opposite field. And here's where it's even more stark. The gap between the Cubs and the team that's second, the Tampa Bay Rays, the Rays are at 599.
Oh, wow.
The Cubs are 100 points of slugging better than the next best team. That's the same gap as it is between the Rays and the team that's 15th on the list. Yesterday, the Cubs, they had four extra base hits, two to the opposite field. They are at 702. And here's the thing. It's not stopping them from hitting homers. They're not making what you usually think is a trade-off. Say, well, you know, stay middle away. Maybe we're not going to snap the hands through and pull balls over fences. For whatever reason, it's not happening that way. They're getting the home runs, too.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that can be attributed to Joe Maddon's, you know, smaller baseball machine on the backfields that we scooped up. I don't know how much of that can be attributed to a new hitting coach, a whole different slew of approaches or what have you. But when I hear
baseball.
That number, yeah, juice baseball, that matters too. But when I hear that number, the guy I think of most is Javi Baez. I mean, A-Rod talked about it a little bit last Sunday. He talked about it a little bit this Sunday. Javi Baez, in his use of the entire field and with power, has made him able to sustain some of the numbers, helped make him able to sustain some of the numbers that he put up last season. Everything about Javi that screamed regression candidate was his swing and miss. The fact that he swings at everything and strikes out a lot. But if you're able to do more with more pitches presented to you, I don't have to. I mean, it's not that big a leap to find out what happens after that when you hit the ball hard.
217 Texter says, wasn't that supposed to have been the Chili Davis approach? Boy, they must have really hated him. Yes and no. That's a Joe Maddon thing. Think middle away. Think center field, opposite field. That's a long time Joe Maddon mantra. But Chili Davis was the style of his teaching was beyond that. And you heard Chris Bryant talk about it with us when we were in Mesa. It was like, hey, get a ground ball. No, that was eschewing launch angle. They're keeping their launch angle.
Yeah.
They're hitting it to the they're slugging. It's not batting average. It's slugging to the opposite field. So they're getting it into gaps. They're getting it over guys' heads. Their launch angle isn't a fad. And it matters no matter which field to which that ball is hit.
Yeah, I with Javi, too. And by the way, the whole heel injury, twisted cleat
that
thing.
That was weird last
night. Wasn't it strange?
I thought it was a rolled ankle. My first thought was catches a cleat, it's a rolled ankle. And he said jammed heel. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. My first thought was like hyperextended. You know, where you get that, whether it's the knee or the ankle, or you just kind of make that stab. It's like when you miss the last step when you're going out the building or something like that, and
yes.
You just kind of you land weird on that leg.
I want to say Moises Alou tore his ACL doing that.
Missing the last step?
Or stepping off a treadmill?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, those steps leaving Stanley's are pretty, I mean, they were pretty steep back in the day.
You said that.
They were. No, I'm just saying, listen, that, I mean, it's not
it's
there
four
anymore.
In the morning at Stanley's.
I haven't been there in a while. I'm usually a River Shannon guy, but those steps were, as I recall, fairly steep.
That was old school baseball. Moises Alou getting ready for those day games with the turbo coffee.
The dark course, you just walk right in. It's very easy to get it. You sit in the back. It's got that nice outdoor area.
Yeah,
nice place.
Yeah, Dusty be there every once in a while,
or,
too.
Or wherever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
doesn't matter where.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you, you know, where the steps are steep and you got to worry about some things.
It seems like Baez is okay, but we don't know. It was just very, very odd. The whole thing was weird. And he also, you saw him grimace because you had like a network super slow-mo and you saw the moment his foot
did the whole team
jammed.
Come over by him or did the whole deal. Does he reminds me a little bit of, and I'm not saying Javi's faking an injury or anything like that, but when he's hurt, and he tries to play through all of the injuries he can. But as he reacts to injuries, because he'll round second and gets a little weird. Remember, we were at a game where he just kind of came up a little limpy and a little gimpy around third base or something. You know that guy in on your rec league basketball team that he'll take it to the rack and draw a little bit of contact, and it's he lands and it's a yard sale. There's like a shoe over here, and it's the guy who always wears headbands and wristbands and stuff, and like that's over. It's like a yard sale.
I'm right here,
and he's just there's a lot of
I'm right here.
And now the game stops for like 10, 12 minutes so that this guy can get his ass up and walk all the way down to the other end of the court.
I
now we can restart the game.
Wouldn't know anything about that
Is
guy.
It you?
Wouldn't know.
Is this you? You're kidding.
Yeah,
late. You get just like a little leg whip and you're down and out for 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Now everybody's going to miss their meeting after the lunch break just because we want to get a little bit of run in at the gym across the street.
I had the scratch cornea, so I had the Oakley blades. I had the...
Oakley blades.
I had to have the...
Were you multiple ankle brace guy?
No, but...
Because that guy is always... I mean, you see multiple ankle brace guy, you know, the dude who has to like unlace the sneakers after he's put them on. It's like three times he's got to, and then wrap it around.
I had a bad relationship with the pushed in, like the pull out bleachers that are behind the basket in the gym.
Yeah,
and
I know those bleachers.
They're a little too close when you're playing crossways.
Yeah, they're the death bleachers.
Yeah, the bleachers of death.
Why would you put them away?
Well, they were put away, but I just I tend to get up ahead of steam when attacking the basket, and because I'm not the biggest guy in the world, a little push, I end up with a little more intimate relationship with the pushed-in bleachers than I would otherwise have. So I spent a lot of time lying under the basket.
Well,
saying, ow.
That's painful. You don't want to beat up to that. Not even a little bit.
Yep.
A trade rumor or two as it pertains to the Cubs. We'll get to that in a little bit. Our own Bruce Levine has written it up on the website. We will we'll give you the names involved when we come back. And also, as the Cubs and Phillies get together for Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta, I find, maybe Cubs fans do, maybe Cubs fans don't, I find nostalgia to be a very well-placed and momentary distraction from a really nice run for the Cubs a little bit. This is good to have this little bit of encapsulated nostalgia for Jake Arrieta's first start back at Wrigley Field since he left the World Series team. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.